So welcome to Comic Book FNG. This is our first collaboration episode with the new hosts, Will and Jeremy. I'm John, obviously, if you guys want to introduce yourselves.
Hey, this is Will. Not very experienced in the comic book world as of yet. I mean, I've been a super big fan of the movies since like 2001 when they came out with like X-Men and all that stuff. And pretty much all the way through. I haven't seen all the movies. I haven't really read much of anything, but totally interested and want to get into it. So I'm here to chat it up and see what I learn.
Okay, I'm Jeremy. Hi. I've been reading comics almost all my life. I'm a little up there, about 43 years old. I've lately picked up a copy of Age of X-Men, Apocalypse, and the Extracts. Really excited to read it. Basically, X-Men has created a utopia for mutants. Where no one knows love, but
what?
Apocalypse comes in. Yeah.
A utopia. Yeah. Where, how is that a utopia?
It's set in the 60s.
Wow. No love, but yeah. In the 60s.
But
how does that make sense? That's like this.
Yeah, movie. And Savanur comes in like...
That's Apocalypse.
Baba Ganoush and teaches everybody love amongst the mutant kind. I'm really excited to read it.
Wow.
It seems kind of out of form for Apocalypse.
Yeah. Like he's a good guy in there? He basically got killed. And there was a seed, and he's been replanted, and he's starting life from young. And there's been a little time travel going on. I've been trying to keep up.
Who created the utopia?
X-Men.
Like all of them? Or X-Man?
X-Man.
The X-Man.
X-Man. X-Man.
I didn't know X-Man was a thing.
It is.
So it's not the group of Apocalypse. X-Men. It's
it would have been almost the sum of Cable in... that storyline, but I think he was engineered by what's his name? Mr. Sinister.
Oh man, you're throwing out universe. Names I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know okay. Who Mr. Sinister. No, wait, no, I think I might know who Mr. Sinister is.
Maybe. Cyclops is
he
the
might
only
have shown up
that can
in,
hurt him.
He might have shown up in a Deadpool comic.
Possibly.
I might be thinking of I'm thinking of a surgeon.
He's been around forever.
Yeah, I'm totally lost. Totally lost.
Well, this is why you're here.
Yes.
You're here to learn.
Oh, man.
So Mr. Sinister is a mutant. Probably one of the first mutants. But he was a doctor. He was a scientist. And he did a lot of experimentation on himself and other mutants.
Mm-hmm.
Basically.
Apocalypse is... Or what's his Egyptian name? En-Savanur or something?
En-Savanur, yes, sir.
He is... Like the original mutant,
the first mutant.
He's considered the first mutant. Did you see the movie X-Men Apocalypse? That's him, the blue dude.
Yeah, the big, powerful bad guy.
Terrible.
Well, I mean, he was like 5'6". He wasn't that big.
Really?
But that's just the actor. I love that guy, but they screwed up that movie. Although seeing the Phoenix power in that movie was super cool, which did make sense because the Phoenix power is a celestial being, which is talked about in our first episode, Avengers vs. X-Men. Where the Phoenix Force comes from space. And actually, I think Dark Phoenix includes the Phoenix Force coming from space. So they're maybe retconning Apocalypse now?
Maybe. They're just trying to fix a very, very awful wrong that they did in that movie.
I did not enjoy that movie. I enjoyed that part of that movie. That's about it.
I wanted to enjoy that movie.
I want to enjoy Dark Phoenix because it looks cool, but I guess it's just fucking terrible.
Yeah, I've heard many bad things about it. And that it's a very disappointing end to that saga.
The X-Men movies, there's very few that are really good. Like, X1 and X2 were very good. X3 was terrible. The Last Stand was just bad. Days of Future Past was good. First Class was good. What came after that? Did Apocalypse come after that?
Apocalypse
was not great. It's just... I really feel for Cyclops, though.
That's I'm not cool a big scene. Fan of spoilers, but if I may.
Oh, spoiler alerts for anything we talk about, because we will talk about Endgame and Infinity War. That's just assumed. We're probably going to talk about Dark Phoenix if you've seen it.
Let's just say don't hang out for the
post-credits?
The post-credits, because there is no.
Okay.
They're re-releasing Endgame.
And it's really long. It's really... Those credits are really, really obscenely long. So at the end, when you're standing there...
It's all single-line credits. They don't pack anything in.
I want to take myself out in a back alley and beat myself up.
Well, we got into this habit of waiting, when really it was only Marvel movies that had post-credit scenes. And now a lot of other movies have started doing it.
Right.
But Endgame didn't have one.
Yeah, and they're re-releasing it.
They're re-releasing it with a post-credit scene. And I don't know why they don't just send out the post-credit scene.
Well, it's because they're also, it's like a recut, so they're also adding new footage to the movie itself. Yeah, there's
30 minutes of new footage.
But what are they going to add, though? That movie was fantastic.
Beats the hell out of me.
Did you see it yet?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay, so we've all seen it now.
Yeah.
So it's just spoilers for the audience now.
Dude, honestly, like, even the Russo brothers lifted the band on the spoilers. Like, I don't understand why after so
Yeah,
long,
once they released the Spider-Man trailer that's talking about the dead Iron Man. Spoilers.
Yeah.
The dead Iron Man.
I mean...
Then I think the ban was lifted.
Yeah.
But it is cool that... Did you know with like, Tom Holland and them, they can't read the script till that day?
Yeah, because they...
Because they're so afraid of him giving out spoilers because he's so bad at it. Mark Ruffalo is just the same way.
And somehow they still manage to spoil stuff and leave
stuff. Yeah.
It's like they do it inadvertently. They're like, wait... Oh, shit.
Oh, shoot. I shouldn't have said that.
Cut that out. Cut that out. We're live.
There's a good video of Mark Ruffalo doing it with Don Cheadle, and Don Cheadle catches him in the middle of it and tries to backtrack. But it was out there. Everybody knew about it.
Oh, no.
So, I read Infinity Gauntlet, which Infinity War is kind of based off of Infinity Gauntlet in name-ish. Because there is actually an Infinity War comic that doesn't have Thanos in it. It's somebody else. I guess the gauntlet and the Infinity Stones continue to be used by evil people. I don't know. I haven't read Infinity War. I just read Infinity Gauntlet. Yeah, and that's the actual one with Thanos. Mm. And it's very different from the movies. I think the biggest thing, the biggest difference is the amount of people in it. Like, the movies had... The characters... Star-Lord wasn't even in it, for one. That just came off the top of my head. He wasn't in it. Most of the Guardians weren't in it at all. I've got a list of all the characters in the comics. Because in the movies, we had all the people that we had had prior movies with. But we don't have that in the comic. They basically bring everybody that survived the disappearance, is what they call it, into the fold. Adam Warlock brings them all in. So here's a list of all the people in Infinity Gauntlet. Thanos, Adam Warlock, Lady Death, Silver Surfer, Doctor Strange, Namor, who's like Aquaman, and I think Namor's sister, wife, girlfriend was in it, Captain America, Hulk, Cyclops, Thor, Iron Man, Spider-Man, Doctor Doom, Wolverine, Nova, Scarlet Witch, Quasar, She-Hulk, Fire Lord, Drax, Cloak, Vision, Galactus, Mephisto, Watcher, Stranger, Celestials, Kronos, the Lord Chaos, Master Order, Star Fox, Nebula, Eternity, and Taraxia. Taraxia, I don't think shows up in anything else. She is a chick that Thanos literally creates to be his girlfriend. He makes his own girlfriend.
Oh. That's so sad.
It is so sad. He's such an asshole. Honestly, this whole arc is super dark. The movies, we thought the movies were bad, is nothing compared to the actual comic. It is super dark. So many people die.
It's not
even funny. Well, I mean, it's not like super violent, but it's everyone dies. It's super dark. The only people that really survive are the Celestials. So there's another big difference. So Iron Man and all of them, we're jumping ahead of ourselves, but Iron Man and all of them, they're brought together by Doctor Strange and Adam Warlock and the other Celestials, and Warlock's got this whole plan. Let's start at the beginning. I'm getting off on a tangent. So it starts kind of like the movie starts. So, but Thanos has already got all the Infinity Stones. He is assumed to be dead from a prior story arc where everybody fought him and he faked his death. And he's hanging out with Mephisto and Lady Death, who is an actual personification of death, but is a person in the Marvel Universe, and she's super hot. And Thanos is in love with her. He's, like, undyingly in love with her. And he's trying to impress her, but she basically brought him on to wipe out half the universe. So it's not his life's mission like it is in the movie. She put the seed in his brain. You need to wipe out half the universe. Because the amount of resources in the universe was not enough. So that was accurate. So it was not enough for all the people in the universe.
So you're saying this was like a love gesture from Thanos to Lady Death?
He wants to impress her. So Thanos like is head over heels in love with Death. Not like he wants to be her husband. He's like obsessed with her.
So it's unhealthy.
Unhealthy. I mean, he kills half the universe among really other people that he actually physically kills. But he blinks. They call it the disappearance. He disappears half the universe.
Right.
But that, on a tangent, Death is super in love with Deadpool.
Right.
In later comics.
Aren't they like star-crossed or some shit?
Yeah, he can't die. So Thanos actually cursed Deadpool with life so he couldn't be with Death because she's in love with him. Because Thanos wants Death for himself, so he curses Deadpool with life. I don't remember when it happens, though.
But isn't he already basically immortal, though?
No, Deadpool can die.
But after that, now he straight can't.
No, he can't die now.
Not even that blade.
I think he's lifted it now, the Muramusa blade.
Muramusa, yeah.
I think he's lifted it now, but for a while there, Deadpool just couldn't die. Because he was cursed with life. But, I mean, he can be killed, you know. Separate the head from the body. Same with Wolverine. Problem is, nothing can get through adamantium.
So he has a one
adamantium.
Deadpool then, ultimately.
What?
Wolverine has one up on Deadpool then, because he can't get through the...
Yeah.
Well, I mean, so...
But Wolverine and Deadpool are kind of equal. Deadpool's healing factor is widely considered to be better than Wolverine's, because he doesn't have the adamantium in his body. The adamantium is what is slowly killing Wolverine.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's eventually, if old man Logan hadn't, or if he hadn't died in Logan, spoilers, he would have eventually died from adamantium poisoning.
Okay.
That's why X-23 only has it on her claws. She doesn't have it on her bones.
That makes sense.
Yeah. She's awesome. I love her. She is the new Wolverine. No, actually, Wolverine's back now, so she may not be the new Wolverine.
She's just X-23, right?
Or she took up the mantle of Wolverine for a while.
Yeah.
So now she's just kind of in limbo since Wolverine's...
No, I think she's just reverting back to X-23. Or there's two Wolverines. Yeah. It could just be two Wolverines.
Hmm. Speaking of which, there was a comic called Wolverines there for a while, right after Wolverine died.
Is that the one where a burglar breaks into their house and it's just like a house full of Logan, X-23, and like all of their family and kids? And I like they stop him and tell him, you broke into the wrong house.
Holy shit.
I think it was... Right, it was right after Wolverine died, and it was a bunch of them. So it was Lady Death, X-23, Mystique.
Does Lady Death have anything to do with Wolverine and them? I thought she just had a thing for Deadpool.
I think it is only Deadpool, but who knows?
I mean, I don't know much about Lady Death. I've seen her in this comic. I knew about her with Deadpool. That was about it.
I mean, maybe they're just friends.
Maybe, yeah.
His buddies.
I mean, Wolverine's 200-some-odd years old, but he's probably died several times.
Well, with come close to it, at least, right?
With yeah. Thanos and Mistress Death, she only ever spoke to him through her servants, right? Because...
Yeah, that was a big thing for this arc. And I didn't find it very clear if she was just unimpressed with Thanos or if... She thought he was repulsive. Like, she just doesn't like him at all. But, I mean, I think she tasks him with wiping out half the universe because he's capable, because he's already got the Infinity Stones.
And she just wants it done?
Yeah. Because the universe can't sustain how many people are in it. So it needs to be taken care of. Which is super fucked up and continues to be an issue throughout the series. But the whole time, she doesn't speak at all. She doesn't say a word. She doesn't really do anything. She just kind of sits around and, like, looks at him. That's about... She, like, glooms at him. She talks through Mephisto, who is, I guess, the devil?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's just Satan? Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Marvel also has Santa Claus, so who is, like, an Omega-level mutant?
What the hell?
Yeah, Santa Claus is an Omega-level mutant.
Literally the...
Yeah, I don't know what his powers are. He's just Santa. This is what happens when you start just Wikipediaing things and just get into a hole looking through characters.
Oh my god.
Dude.
So yeah, we've got Mephisto, the devil. She talks through him. But Mephisto, the whole time, spoilers, is like manipulating the situation to try to get the gauntlet for himself. Because he wants to use it. Everybody basically wants to use the gauntlet.
Well, who wouldn't, honestly?
Thanos has got it. And he's... Another big difference from the movies is he's omnipotent. He's a god. He knows what's happening all the time. Because he gets sensory input from all of the stones. So time stone, space stone, you know, all those. He knows what's happening because of the stones. Mm. And that plays a big part in the attack that happens. So he does the disappearance. It doesn't impress death. And one of the most fucked up things he does is he warps in Nebula, thinking it would impress death. And he basically makes her a burn victim on the brink of death the whole time she exists. So she can't die. She can't really be alive. She just kind of exists, but is conscious of it. And he thinks it's hilarious. And Nebula is not his daughter, by the way. It's his granddaughter, which I didn't know. So who is Nebula's mom? That is my question. I'll have to Wikipedia that later and go into another hole. So Nebula is just kind of hanging around. And you can catch her throughout the comic. Just kind of in the background, just like in weird contorted positions because she's constantly in pain and won't die. He also warps in his brother, who, what's his name? It's like Eon or something, or Elon or something.
I don't remember.
Because Thanos has a brother, and like he looks normal. So Thanos is a Titan, and on Titan, most of the people look normal. He looks all weird and has a ball sack for a chin because he's got some kind of disease he developed as a baby. And it made him look like that. So he is deformed as shit. That's one of the reasons he's so angry, is because he got so much shit growing up because he looks like that. So he brings in his brother, tortures him, takes away his mouth.
Oh my God.
For some reason. I don't know why. I don't know the powers of his brother or anything about him, really. So he just takes away his mouth.
Takes away his, like, sews it shut?
No, just makes it disappear completely.
No more mouth.
Just fleshy patch where his mouth would be.
Star Fox?
No, it's not Star Fox. What is, maybe that's his, like...
Eros.
Eros, that's his name. Maybe Star Fox is, like, his alter ego or his superhero name. His made-up name.
Possibly.
Or using made-up names. I'm Spider-Man. So that's one of the biggest differences, is Thanos is completely omnipotent and can see everything that has and will happen. So he knows everybody's going to band together and attack him. And when it happens... It does not go the way you think it's going to go. It is nothing like the movies at all. Our heroes literally do nothing. They're there as a distraction. That's it. And all of them die. So spoilers, all of them die.
Oh my god.
The Taraxia, the chick, the forever alone chick that Thanos creates, rips Iron Man's head off. I motioned that you can't see what I'm doing. I'm motioning that she rips his head off. And she just walks up to Thanos, like, hey, I took care of him. And she's just holding Iron Man's head.
That's awesome.
It's super fucked up.
It's just that easy?
Yeah, she just pops it off. I mean, they fight for, not like Taraxia and Iron Man fight, but Thanos and them fight, and they're basically just like on him. They're not even hitting him with anything. Yeah. The only one that does ever actually really affects Thanos with an attack is Hulk punches him a couple of times, and Thor. That's about it.
Adam Warlock?
He's not even in the fight.
Really?
He doesn't even get in the fight. So Thor, for one, is not Thor. It's like the second Thor, which I also need to get into. I didn't know there were multiple Thors.
Wait, what?
Yeah, so he's just a human dude that was worthy enough to pick up Mjolnir. So he gets the powers of Thor and also looks like Thor.
Transforms into Thor.
Yeah, he transforms into Thor. But he, during the course of the arc, he loses his hammer and reverts back to like a redheaded dude with a mullet.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Yeah. It's super weird. And it's really confusing. There's a lot that happens. Adam Warlock's plan is super complex. So anyways, back to the beginning. The disappearance happens. It doesn't impress death. So he brings in Nebula and Eros, tortures them. You remember in Infinity War when the Guardians try to take on Thanos on in Nowhere?
Yeah.
And he makes Drax plop into a bunch of blocks and makes Mantis into a bunch of ribbons. Mm-hmm. Those tortures happen to Eros and Nebula. So those actually happened.
Both of them.
But two different characters. Mm. And it wasn't like because they were attacking him. It was just because Thanos thought it was fun and thought it would impress Death. And so he's sitting on this rock in the middle of some far galaxy with Death. And it's like a monument to Death or some shit that he created. And Earth, we've lost half, pretty much everybody. California falls into the water, so everybody that was on California dies. A lot of the superheroes are dead. A lot of the superheroes are trying to help people around the world, because the Earth is basically crumbling, because through all the stuff Thanos is doing, he's also creating these waves of cosmic energy that like float out up to each planet and destroy planets around him, for one. And then once it gets further out into the universe, it just causes earthquakes and tsunamis and shit like that. And then once everybody figures out what's going on, Adam Warlock pops in just like, Silver Surfer falls through the roof of the, what is it called? What's Doctor Strange's house? It's like the Sictorum Sanctum or something. Silver Surfer crashes through the roof like Hulk did in Infinity War or in Endgame. Mm-hmm. And no, it was Infinity War. Yeah. And does the whole Thanos is coming thing because he knew about it right off the bat. He's in the beginning of the series because he was there when Thanos faked his death. So he knows what's happening, knows what's going to happen, and tries to get to Earth to stop him, to get everybody together to stop him. So he's the one that crashes through the roof. So Doctor Strange knows what's going on, but then gets pulled away from Earth in his astral body to talk to this mysterious stranger who we find out is Adam Warlock, who is currently in the Soul Realm, inside the Soul Gem. See what I mean? How it's complex. He's inside the Soul Realm, inside the Soul Gem, where the Silver Surfer ended up because Thanos killed him, and then Adam Warlock sent him back and told him to go to Earth and find everybody else.
Whoa.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that happen in the story.
So if you die, you go and live inside the Soul Stone, but you can be sent back if someone's inside powerful
enough to send you back. I don't know. I think maybe if you die from the gauntlet, you get put in the Soul Stone. Honestly, I don't know. It's really muddy. I mean, in the movies, you see the soul go up into the sky and everything, and then they get the Soul Stone. Like when, spoilers, Gamora dies, and when Black Widow dies.
Yeah, and then you wake up in the pool holding the
soul. Yeah. So, I don't know. I didn't know you could be in the Soul Gem. I guess there's a whole realm inside there. Adam Warlock is in there. I don't know if he's trapped or if he's dead. I'm pretty sure he's dead. It's kind of unclear on his status in there. But he, throughout the whole thing, because he does eventually get out of the Soul Stone. But he's got, like, a connection with it. So he gets feedback from the Soul Stone. And towards the end, he actually gets in the Soul Stone and creates unrest between it and the other Infinity Stones to cause the wearer pain. And that's one of the ways they get an opening to take off the gauntlet. It's pretty crazy.
No shit.
So he sends Silver Surfer. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine.
He sends Silver Surfer. they find Doctor Strange, tell him what's going on. And then he basically just collapses onto the couch because he's exhausted and he flew through space, basically through the entirety of the universe to get to Earth. And Doctor Strange gets pulled out of his astral form to meet with Adam Warlock, who does this weird like soul connection thing, because Warlock's like, you need to band everybody together under my rule. But Strange doesn't know who this guy is. So he's like, why the fuck would I do that? I have no idea who you are. So they do this soul melding thing so they can see into each other's souls. And right after that happens, Strange is like, yep, got it. Let me go get everybody. And so, just is completely converted.
No shit. So this is like Spock's mind meld, only a two-way street. So they can see each other's stuff.
Yeah, so he can see into Adam Warlock's soul, but Adam Warlock can also see into Doctor Strange's soul.
That is dope.
So he knows that Warlock is true and like a good dude. So he gathers everybody up Iron Man was in space somewhere. I don't know his whereabouts during the disappearance, but he wasn't on Earth. And he gets hit by a cosmic wave. And it basically fucks his suit up, so he's on reserve power. And that's where they just kind of leave him. Spider-Man is somewhere else. I don't know where Spider-Man is. So Doctor Strange basically just like opens a bunch of portals and starts warping people in. Like Iron Man walks through the portal, and I am Iron Man. Spider-Man comes through, like, I'm your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, and stuff like that. I don't know if he was pulling him from other Earths, or... I don't know if Thanos doing the disappearance would change the other Earths or not. Or if it was they were just in different locations on that Earth. And he just pulled him in. So he pulls everybody in. Adam Warlock comes in. Everybody's on board now. They know what's going on. But before they pulled up all the Earth people, Warlock was across space and time talking to a floating head in space. I don't remember his name. He's literally just a floating head. He's green and he floats.
Rick and Morty style.
Yeah. Epoch? Is that what it is?
Is it?
I think it's Epoch. He's got like an eye on the side of his head. He looks super weird. Was Galactus
there?
Yes. Okay. At some point, Galactus was there. Okay. So he gets all the Celestials together. This is where the Eternal, the Celestials, the Chaos Dude, the Order Dude, all of them get together and talk about it. And the Living Tribunal is there. Now, this guy's design is super cool. He's got like this golden body, but then his head is separate from his body, and he's got like a shawl on one of his heads.
I've seen
he's got different faces. Oh man,
yeah, dude. I've seen him on little like snippets. Like I read articles online, and I've seen him. He's like one of the most powerful entities out there, isn't he?
He's pretty much the most powerful.
The most powerful.
Yeah.
The Living Tribunal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there, the Watcher was there. Do you know who the Watchers are?
Not as familiar, but it sounds...
They are familiar. Celestials, but they can't affect the universe. Their duty is just to do just their namesake, just to watch. And
Record. It's self-explanatory. They just stand by and watch.
So they're super powerful, but they don't use their power.
Yeah.
Stan Lee was supposed to be a watcher in all of his cameos throughout all the whole Marvel canon.
Dude, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, I don't think they've shown the Watchers in the MCU at all.
They have.
Have they?
It was one of the later movies.
You might be thinking of Green Lantern.
No, stop it.
Oh, they're in the Green Lantern. Well, they're DC equivalent of the Watchers.
Yeah, but no,
Green Lantern.
There, you actually see Stan Lee talking.
Oh no! I know what you're talking about. Yeah,
and the Watchers are all around him.
I think that was one of the.
You're my ride.
Yeah,
I think that was one of the Guardians of the Galaxy. It might have been the second Guardians.
Yeah.
Okay, so they do show the Watchers. But that's literally all they do is they watch. There's a scene in the comic where Thanos and them, they know the battle is coming. Or actually, the arrival of the Watcher is a sign that the battle is coming. Because he shows up and just kind of floats there in space, crosses his arms, and watches.
Wasn't he there when Silver Surfer and Galactus first showed up on the scene?
Yeah. So the Watcher was there when all the Celestials got together to talk. Because they need to talk about what Thanos did. This is all right after the disappearance, because it happens all over the universe. Everybody loses people. Like the Kroll show up, and they think that it's an attack from the Skrull. I think it's the Kroll and the Skrull that are fighting each other. Those two think it's either or that did it. They show a couple of other planets. It happens on Titan. That's why when Eros gets warped in, he was on Titan talking about how there was a disappearance. And they have a spat. And Eros tells Thanos that their dad was disappeared, and Thanos mentions that, yeah, I specifically made sure he was, because I don't want to talk to him. So he's got daddy issues.
So in the comics, Titan is still inhabited.
Yeah.
And
Titan is still a thriving planet in the comics. And they're all, like, part celestial, too. I don't know. The Titans are really confusing people.
It's interesting. Because in the movie, spoilers, Titan is completely desolate.
Oh, yeah.
There are no more Titans.
Well, they had to write that in to...
Justify his
actions. Because he says in Infinity War, when he throws Gamora off the cliff, he says he ignored his destiny once, and he won't do it again. So when Titan fell, it's because he ignored his destiny. Or that's what he thinks. I mean, they call him the Mad Titan for a reason. He's fucking insane. On top of being an asshole.
Right.
He's just not a nice guy at all.
Not a winner.
Definitely. But even without the Infinity Gauntlet, he's super tough. Yeah. So Don't fuck around with Thanos.
Like, fighting Hulk tough.
Yeah. Yeah, the Hulk is the only person in the universe that Thanos will actively avoid fighting. He'll win, but it's going to be a rough fight. Because with the Hulk, on a tangent, with the Hulk, they don't know his limits. I mean, I'm pretty sure he broke a planet once.
My God.
Yeah, the angrier he gets, the stronger he gets. It's just the way the Hulk works. So there isn't really a limit on Hulk's power. There's quite a few heroes, actually, that don't have limits to their power. Scarlet Witch, I don't think, has a limit. Cyclops, I don't think, has a limit. He never really, like, fully unloads and does his thing. He's, like, channeling some kind of power from some dimension in his head or some shit. Yeah, Cyclops is really confusing.
I never understood his
power. His brother Havoc.
Havoc as well, yeah.
Doesn't he shoot it out of his chest, though?
His whole body.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, if he doesn't have that suit on, he's blowing shit up.
Yeah. That actually, they showed really well in the movies. I really enjoyed that. Yeah. I liked Havoc in the movies.
That was such a sad moment when he just went up.
I know. I felt for Cyclops that whole time. Like, his shit going off in the school and everything. Man, yeah. I felt for Cyclops. That sucked.
Although that gave way to the best scene, I think, in the whole X-Men, like that slow-mo scene, the first one with Quicksilver.
Oh, yeah, when the mansion gets blown up.
Yeah, and he just walks in and kind of takes his glasses off, like, oh, what's going on here?
Yeah.
What's happening, guys? Let me just save everyone real quick and just kind of have a good time and have a sip of soda.
Except for Havoc.
Well,
that sucks. I liked that actor, too.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, man. And it was just so quick. It's just, and he's gone.
Yeah.
It was so anticlimactic, I feel like, too.
Well, he probably had to die some kind of contract conflict or something. I don't know. Just like Iron Man. They had to kill him off at some point.
Yeah.
Couldn't keep being Iron Man. How many movies has he been in now as Iron Man?
Like almost all of the Marvel movies. He made a cameo or something.
He's been in like 11 or 12 of them as Iron Man since 2008 when the first one came out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
So really we got to give it to RDG for RJD for giving us... RDJ. RDJ. Goddamn, Robert Downey Jr.
RDJ. I was thinking about
that. I said it right the third time. We got to give it to him for bringing us the MCU, because if Iron Man wasn't successful, we wouldn't have what we have today.
Right.
And we got to give it to him for just being Tony Stark. Yeah. Like, that was on-point casting. Oh, you could not cast a different Tony Stark.
And not to mention he actually cared about, like, the franchise. Because, like, in the middle of it, like, during Age of Ultron or something in that era, didn't he, like, take a pay cut to make sure everyone else stayed coming in and you know, reprising
the I don't roles? Know if it was Age of Ultron. It might have been... No, it might have been Age of Ultron, but I know he did do that, yeah.
It wasn't towards the end. I know it was, like, in the middle of the whole operation. And like
once they started bringing more people in, yeah.
Yeah, he was like, all right, I'll take less money, but let's keep going. Like,
it sucks for Terrence Howard, because the original guy that played Rhodes in the first Iron Man, he got really prissy for the second one and wanted a bunch of money. I apologize if Terrence Howard is listening. He wanted a bunch of money for the second one and, like, wanted more than they were paying Robert Downey Jr., and they just said, no, we'll get somebody else.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I have to throw my hat in the ring on this one. As much as I love giving credit to Robert Downey Jr., there's another actor who portrays his character, I think, just as well, if not better, than Robert Downey Jr. Forgive me for saying that. May not be popular. But this person also introduced Marvel Comics to the mainstream before it really went mainstream. Any ideas who I'm thinking of?
I mean, the only person I can think of is Hugh Jackman as Wolverine.
No.
Or
Wesley any of the X-Men. As Blade.
Oh, man.
Come on.
Dude.
I didn't even think of Blade either. Shit, he was also the first R-rated comic book movie.
Yeah. Yep, and they've totally brought it on the line.
I agree with you.
That's when they tested the waters. That's when they stuck their toe in the water
right, and
saw. And now, when you think of Blade... What do you think about
Wesley Snipes? Okay. Yeah. Holy shit.
Wow.
That's when the canon officially took off. I mean, they had their few flops, the Fantastic Four from the 80s, as I laugh under my breath. But
wait, they made one in the 80s?
Be the one. I mean,
They made one in the 80s?
Oh,
I didn't even know that.
They did a Captain America, too.
No shit.
It was really bad.
I think I've seen some clips of that one.
Yeah. The Fantastic Four.
Is that the ones that it looks like they're just wearing, like, High School Musical clothing?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Seriously? Those were official?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They were in production. God. It's hard. It's hard to find any footage. But
I wonder if they did that.
They actually finished it, I think. I don't think it got released. If I remember correctly, it actually got finished and never released. So you can order it, I think.
Well, some studios will do this thing where they'll make a movie just to keep the rights for a character.
That's true.
So they may have just been doing that to keep the rights. Well, hold on now. Which Spider-Man?
Which? All of them?
What are you talking about? The first two Tobey Maguire
characters. They changed characters so much. It's...
Both the Amazing Spider-Man movies were cool. I mean, I'm going to get reamed for that, but I liked the second one with Jamie Foxx and that weird-looking Green Goblin. I mean, that was okay. Yeah. Venom.
Look at the time it was
terrible.
Amazing. Venom was terrible.
Oh, my God. I mean, no, not the movie. The movie Venom, I enjoyed. Movie,
yes.
Venom in
critically,
the third,
it was terrible. But Spider-Man 3, Venom was just fucking horrible.
Scrawny. Oh. I was a younger kid. I was like 11 at the time, and I recognized that as just not right.
He danced.
Oh, my God. And the finger guns, and too. Dancing. Right? And like the emo Spider-Man, you know, like changes his hair. Yeah. Oh, my God. It was so bad.
Oh, my God. I love a clip. I saw it on Facebook of him walking without the music. Just him doing the finger guns and going, what's up? Yeah. And then the women that walk by go, what the hell? Dude, I love it. It's a perfect clip.
Speaking of great YouTube clips, this is a serious tangent. It's not related to comics, but I saw some guy took a clip of The Big Bang Theory and replaced all of the laugh tracks with the grunting from Tim Allen. Oh, my God. I need to send it to you guys. It's the best thing I've ever seen. It's one of those things where it's like, I didn't know I needed this, but now that I have it, like my life is complete that I've seen this now.
You're wondering where it's been all your life.
Yeah. It's who I don't know who thought of that, but it needs to be a thing now where people start taking clips and putting the laugh track as just grunting from Tim Allen.
Oh, man.
It's fantastic. Blade. I didn't even think of Blade.
Right?
Yeah. I loved the first Blade movie.
I mean, whenever you think of the character, you picture Wesley Snipes. I know I do.
Deacon Frost.
Yeah.
Enemy vampire in the first Blade movie.
Oh, man.
He's the one that becomes the vampire god.
Right. Oh, man.
Me and my brother used to play Blade when we were kids. Like, he would be Deacon Frost because it was a cool name. And I guess I was Blade. I don't know. I remember that well. But we used, like, wooden swords that my grandpa made us because he was a carpenter. And, yeah.
Dude, that's
we cool. should not have seen that movie when we were young.
Oh, man.
Great soundtrack.
I think...
Fantastic soundtrack.
Fantastic
soundtrack. Even the third one, which is arguably the worst of Blade, had a fantastic soundtrack.
Which movie was it that they had the freaking blood bath, like, raining from the ceiling in that dance?
That was the first one.
That was such a good scene.
That is the first scene I ever remember seeing from an R-rated movie. And it was an accident because it was on freaking TV.
Really?
Yeah.
The first scene for me was from The Prophecy with Christopher Walken. And it's the scene where they go into a cave and they see a hallucination of an angel impaled on a spike.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first thing I ever saw from an R-rated movie and it has stuck with me the rest of my life.
Great movie series, but great, great movie. I love that movie.
Yeah. My favorite scene is where there's a body in like a freezer or something, so he goes like this. And the body lights on fire.
Oh.
Super awesome. I just gestured again on a podcast. They can't see what we're doing.
Oh my gosh.
I'm sure the people that've seen the movie know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
Christopher Walken looking at little kids' mouths for their soul, for this hidden soul. Oh, it's so creepy.
Wait, didn't Viggo Mortensen play Satan in The Prophecy?
Yeah, that was
crazy. He was a good... He did not... I'm going to say this officially.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Are we thinking of... We're not thinking of... Keanu Reeves.
Constantine.
You're thinking of Constantine.
No, that wasn't Viggo Mortensen. Okay. So Viggo Mortensen is the guy that played Aragorn in Lord of the Rings.
Okay, yeah.
He played Satan in The Prophecy.
Oh, that's right.
But I want to go on official record, because this will be released to the audiences, that Peter Stormare's Satan in Constantine is the best portrayal of Satan on any media. Really? I think. Personally, I think that is the best portrayal of Satan.
It was brutal.
The fact that he's got the white suit on, but is the bottoms of his pants and his... Like, shirt sleeves and everything are stained with oil.
Black,
and you can see the tattoos just coming up from his collar and his sleeves, but you can't see them.
So that's the same portrayal from Constantine.
That is
Constantine.
That's
what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Oh, my God.
He is the best portrayal of Satan 100%. I've ever seen.
Dude, I love how he goes through the glass and it slowly just explodes out.
Although, I do love the Satan in Supernatural, the show. He's pretty great.
Dude, Have you seen the new season yet?
No, dude. I've seen up to like season 11. I'm so behind.
Okay, all right.
They're finally ending the show, though.
Really?
Yeah, I think the creators are just like, okay,
it's been.
We're done, man.
Season 14.
We're done.
They're reaching now for ideas.
On the show was written for 5 seasons. Like, right? They're 9 seasons up at this point. Where were we? We went off on a huge tangent.
We brought up Blade.
Yeah. Blade.
Which opened up a big gap.
Speaking of which, MCU is trying to get Keanu Reeves back into it.
Dude, yes!
Oh so if God. They do that, it has to be Constantine again. They have to bring him back as Constantine. Because yeah. Constantine shows up in a lot of stories.
I thought Constantine was DC.
No, he's MCU, isn't he?
DC.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No.
Oh, man. Foot mouth. Holy shit. Yeah. Never mind. I retract everything I just said about that.
You'll see him, Fate, and...
Yeah, Constantine does not fuck around. He is... If ever there was an epitome of a silver tongue, it's Constantine.
Really?
Yeah, like, I'm pretty sure he talked Satan into giving him immortality when Satan was there to kill him.
Holy shit.
Or maybe it was death that he talked him into it. Yeah, Constantine doesn't fuck around. Which, I love Keanu Reeves and that movie, but it is nothing like the comics.
Yeah, I noticed that.
He's like, a blonde dude in the comics.
And doesn't he have you can't read accents, but in the movies that are more based on the comics, doesn't he have an accent as well, like a British accent?
I don't think so. I'm pretty sure he's American.
Really?
Yeah, very LA.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the stuff takes place in LA. Okay. That's, well, no, not even LA, because DC doesn't use real... places, so.
Yeah, so it's, I don't know, it's probably Gotham or some shit.
And what Constantine movie am I thinking of? It's recent. I think it was like rated R. It was dark. And it was like...
Well, they've only made one Constantine movie.
Well, no, it was animated.
There's a show, like a TV show.
It's like a spin-off of Justice League Dark or something like that.
Yeah, they made a movie not too long ago.
Oh, God, I can't remember the name of it.
It's pretty sure he's American. Something. They may have just made some kind of artistic liberty on it and... changed his background.
Maybe it was just a casting thing.
I don't know. That's one of the reasons we started the podcast is because there's so many different storylines and they've retconned so many different backgrounds and histories and everything. It's just confusing. City of Demons. That's with Constantine?
Yeah. It's literally called Constantine City of Demons.
And it's an animated movie?
Yeah.
Well, I won't fuck around with that. I mean...
Yeah.
DC's animated universe is fantastic. Like, Marvel's got movies. DC's movies are pretty bad. Let's be honest. On record, DC's movies are not great.
Well, I can agree with
that. I enjoyed Aquaman. I enjoyed Wonder Woman. But Superman vs. Batman was absolute trash.
But the animation Justice League was trash. Really good, though.
I think the CGI animation was terrible. I think...
It was so dark. Like, literally, like... dark.
Yeah.
No, I'm talking about
that's Max Snyder's
like way. Like say Constantine City of Demons
or, oh yeah, DCAU, the animated universe is amazing. My favorite is the Flashpoint Paradox.
That's a good one.
Justice League Flashpoint.
Yeah.
And I think there was a Justice League War or something like that that had Doomsday in it. Mm-hmm. That was super good. No, not Doomsday, Darkseid. It had Darkseid in it.
Touching on DC.
Is that the one where he comes and gets Supergirl and kidnaps her?
That's the one where Justice League wasn't a thing yet. Oh. Batman and Superman don't know each other. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Well, touching on DC and you mentioning the Flashpoint Paradox, I know I'm probably going to get ringed for this myself, but I actually enjoyed the, you know, they're cheesy, but the CW universe, like the Arrowverse.
I'll agree to an extent. I liked the first couple of seasons of Arrow where he was still, like, killing people.
Right.
Just because I'm a sucker for that kind of stuff. But... again, nothing like the comics, because Oliver Queen is like the DC's equivalent of Hawkeye. He's supposed to be, you know, cracking jokes all the time and super lighthearted and shit. Not super broody.
Yeah, that's Batman's.
Yeah, that's Batman's thing. Yeah. Batman is super dark. Yeah. Like, there's not a lot of light in Batman's life. So the first couple of seasons with Arrow were cool. I liked seeing, you know, more stuff about the island and learning how he built all of his skills and everything, but it just started getting a lot crazier
right
throughout the show.
Flash was pretty good.
Flash was all right. The guy who plays Barry, I like him. I don't like the other people in it. I like Cisco. He's cool.
Yeah, man. Vibe.
Well, you know what? I rescind that. I like Cisco. I like the guy who plays Flash. I like the dad. I like everybody but the chick. Not his sister. I like the girl that plays the sister.
The Caitlin Cox?
I don't like her. For some reason. Yeah. Yeah. The Deadly Frost girl. Yeah, I don't know her name.
She's not a good actor.
I mean, like I apologize in advance if she ever somehow hears this. But I haven't liked her since since Disney movies.
No?
Back in the day when she was a Disney actor. It's just one of those things that, like, people just don't like Shia LaBeouf. I mean, he's a phenomenal actor, but people just hate him.
Well, I mean, he went kind of off the deep end there for a while. Doing kind of.
Well, I mean, if you're 18 and super famous, what are you going to do?
Well, I mean, for a little, like, I don't know, maybe this is just bullshit, but somewhere along, like, after the second Transformers movie, I heard somewhere that he was quitting Hollywood and going to college, and, you know, he wanted to make sure he got an education before he went any further.
He did put a bag on his head and said, I'm not famous anymore.
Really?
Yeah. Did you not see that?
I did not.
Oh, dude, you can Google it. He's got a paper bag on his head that says, I'm not famous.
Wow.
Like, that's all. Again, I'm gesturing a lot. People can't see what we're doing. We got to stop gesturing. Yeah.
You say we got to stop gesturing, but you
really, really is just me gesturing. Yeah. Flash, I enjoyed. I don't know. The story's got kind of ridiculous. Like with the, what was his name? The god of speed or some shit.
Yeah,
in the third speed season. Force. Yes. Speed force god guy.
What? It's like a Z.
I really got to give him props for using practical effects. I thought that was great. They actually had a dude in a suit that looked really cool. Mm. But the story was dumb.
Yeah. It wound up being spoilers if no one's, you know, seen it yet. But Barry's double, like time double or something, that just got jilted because he was created for no real purpose.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. That was dumb as shit.
And at the end, they're like, they're touching hands and stuff, and they're like, oh, now I'm good, and now I'm just going to disappear. And then he just, like...
And then the amount of times Barry changes the timeline, it's a meme now that it's happened so much. I like the first couple of seasons.
Right.
The problem I have with the TV comic shows is generally the CGI is horrible. The acting is terrible.
Yeah.
Stories are all right. Like, there are scenes in the Supergirl one that are fantastic. She does a fantastic job. Yeah. Like, gives you the feels. Like, hair stands up and everything. They're great scenes. But the majority of the show is dumb as shit.
Right.
Yeah, like, man. Just the actors are bad. The story's not great. The CGI is really bad. But some of them have shining moments. Yeah. I think the Supergirl show is terrible. I couldn't get into it all. I think I got two episodes in. I couldn't get into it.
Yeah, I watched most of them. Like, I watched DC Legends of Tomorrow. And
that one I did actually like. For some reason, I got hooked on that show, and I really liked it.
Yeah, man. It's witty. Like, I liked it. I liked it a lot, too. Like, I liked them all, really. I couldn't get into Supergirl. That was the one DC, like, CW universe thing that I couldn't really watch. But like I said, it's all cheese. It's all cheese, but
cameos
I love it.
Make a big difference in those two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I mean...
But then again...
The crossover episodes,
But look at the... I hate to be that guy that compares DC and Marvel, but look at, like, take Arrow and compare it to Daredevil.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there's no...
Just the quality of Daredevil versus Arrow is mind... Actually, Arrow's not that bad when it comes to quality. It's pretty good. All right, so with superpowered people. So Legend of Tomorrow versus Daredevil. The quality is mind-blowingly different. Mm. I mean, with Daredevil, we get... fantastic stories. We get Vincent D'Onofrio playing the best portrayal of the Kingpin I have ever seen.
Oh,
and
yeah,
probably one of the roles of his lifetime. Mm-hmm. And they cancel it in season 3. Those shows are just so damn good. Jessica Jones season 3 is starting off really good. I haven't finished it, but I'm not going to say anything because spoilers. But it's starting off really good. If you haven't seen any of Daredevil, watch it. I absolutely recommend it. Actually, watch them all.
Oh,
yeah.
I
haven't seen Iron Fist season 2 at all.
I haven't either.
I enjoyed a little bit of season 1, but...
I haven't seen the Defenders yet.
Defenders is good. You're going to need to watch Iron Fist and Luke Cage season 1s
before seen
you
those
watch
two.
Defenders.
I've seen those. I've seen Daredevil 1 and 2. I haven't seen the third season yet because I know that's the last one, and I'm scared that it's going to be over for me.
It's post-Defenders, so watch Defenders first.
Defenders first, yeah. Okay. So, I'm kind of in the middle on most of the Netflix.
See, stuff. Defenders, I was in the middle too because everybody didn't like Defenders, but I enjoyed it.
Really?
Yeah, I really liked it.
Why didn't anyone like it? I heard that too, that nobody
It just wasn't great. They tried to pack too much into it. It only had 8 episodes. where the series is usually get between 10 and 13 episodes.
Right.
So they can pack more into the story. We're way off track now.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we're still talking comic book stuff, right?
Yeah. That's true, but we haven't finished with Infinity Gauntlet. Yeah. So where were we in Infinity Gauntlet? He's gotten the Celestials together. The Living Tribunal is there. And he's, I guess, like the...
They want to take his power because he doesn't deserve... They don't feel like he deserves it, correct?
That's later.
Okay.
So, actually, no, that's with Thanos. Basically, the Eternal, which Thanos' power rivals the Eternal. So it's basically like two people trying to do the same job.
Mm-hmm.
And the Eternal's got power over all that stuff. He just doesn't need the Infinity Stones. So now that there's somebody else that has power over all that stuff, like, he's upset. He's visibly upset. Kind of. He just looks like space with a face. So they asked the Living Tribunal, like, will you help us? And the guy, the way it's written, just seems like he's got a super robot-y voice and just says, we'll not help you. Because Thanos has not committed a cosmic crime. Because what he did was technically natural selection. Like, there were too many people for the resources, so this is natural selection. So Living Tribunal doesn't do shit. He doesn't help at all. He just... pops off.
Wow.
Just does his own thing. So they get all the Celestials together. They're ready to fight. Which, seeing the Celestials at this point, I would not want to fight any of them. Mm. Let alone just like Adam Warlock. I wouldn't want to fight any of them. Especially Galactus. He eats planets.
Right, like they're so large.
Yeah.
Obviously.
But like, just on their size. Oh yeah, that's another thing. He tries to convince Galactus to help. And Galactus, I think, is traditionally a bad guy, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Or is he just kind of neutral?
Yeah,
he just kind of does his thing.
Yeah, he just wants to eat. That's all.
Yeah, because the happenings of people don't matter to Galactus because he's just gonna eat the planet.
Right. Doesn't he get shackled with Deadpool for a while though?
Galactus?
Yeah.
That's a question for Jeremy. I have no idea. I
recall like Deadpool just giving him so much shit, like a lot of shit, because Deadpool has something to do with death, Lady Death. Like, this is like on a big long tangent like hole that I got.
I don't know if it's Galactus. It might be Thanos, cuz Galactus, sure, I don't think Galactus gives a shit about death. He's a Celestial.
It's Deadpool that gives a shit about death. I think Death said go be Galactus's assistant,
Herald. I can see something like that.
Oh yeah, I can see like a Herald.
So he goes and he starts hanging around like, Galactus, and he's just like, leave me be, I'm going to kill you. And then he can't kill Deadpool.
Yeah.
So he's just buzzing around, like, hanging out on his freaking horn or whatever, just talking shit.
Because, like, Silver Surfer is a herald. I don't remember who he's a herald for.
He was a herald for Galactus.
Was he?
Yeah.
A herald being just
who's
like
the dude in the Green Lantern movie? The enemy. No, it's not Sinestro.
That's DC.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Because
something right.
He also had a herald. No, he didn't. I'm thinking of. Jesus, I'm all mixed up today. Fantastic Four 2 had Silver Surfer in it.
Yeah.
And he was.
The herald for Galactus.
Is that it? Because Galactus wasn't in Fantastic Four 2.
It was, but it didn't look like Galactus. It was Galactus. But it didn't look like Galactus.
Oh, I guess another reason that movie was terrible.
Yeah. So what? He was in that movie? Because yeah, I saw Galactus, that movie when I was
that
young.
Big cloud that came down and with the tentacles and stuff, that was Galactus.
What?
Yeah.
Galactus is just a dude, just bigger.
Yeah. But I think maybe they showed his face or something. They tried to lead up to the original Galactus, like a little teeny tiny bit where you barely saw him. And then it was just a clap.
Huh. So Galactus, they try to convince Galactus, and Adam Warlock does, and he doesn't accept it at all. And Galactus, again, is a bad guy, so he tries to, like, and, like, beam Adam Warlock to death. And at the end of it, after this huge, like, celestial power beam from his eyes, at the end of it, Adam Warlock's just sitting on his head like, are we done? Can we talk now? And they convince Galactus to help.
Holy shit.
And back on Earth, they're trying to convince Dr. Doom to help, who is, I wouldn't say evil. He is more chaotic neutral. Like, he's basically, he's out for himself and for his country. Latvia, one of the two. But he's the ruler of that country. And basically, his whole shtick is, so he wants to gain more power for him and more prosperity for his country. That's about it. So I wouldn't say he's, I don't know, I haven't read a lot of Doctor Doom, but I know he's not super evil like everybody else. Mm-hmm. But he's a dick, so there's that.
He's a bad guy. He's been around for a while.
Yeah.
So
I'm so disappointed in the cinematic portrayals for him, because I love the actors that play him, but they do it so terribly in the movies. Not the actors, just the design of Doom and the stories are just bad. Yeah. All of the Fantastic Four movies have been bad that way with Doom. And they just need to not use Doom yet and just do something else. But anyway, they convince Dr. Doom, and there's a great scene with Hulk and Wolverine and Adam Warlock, where Hulk goes off and is sitting on the roof by himself. And he's the intelligent Hulk at this point, like he was in Endgame. And Wolverine goes up there, and they have a little bit of animosity because Hulk and Wolverine have fought several times. But at this point, Hulk tells him, like, because we've fought so many times, I know you better than anybody else does, and I respect you, more or less. And they both admit that they're both monsters. And Warlock walks in right when he says that, and he's like, that's why I need to talk to you guys. And he takes him off to the side, and he tells him, if you get the opportunity, I need you to kill Thanos. Everybody else, like, they're good fighters, but they're not as familiar with death as you two are. So I need you guys to kill him. Dead. Like, fuck his day up. They attempt it. Wolverine gets so fucked. Like, Hulk just gets fucked up a little bit. Wolverine, he stabs Thanos in the chest. And then Thanos just kind of blinks, and all of the adamantium in Wolverine's body turns to sponge.
Oh.
So he just kind of falls on the ground in this weird pile of skin and metal. It sucks. Yeah. So I wouldn't say Wolverine died, but he was not in a good place.
Oh my god.
Okay, so everybody's on board. All the Celestials are on board. All the humans and Earth's mightiest heroes are all on board. Doctor Strange gets held back. He's specifically instructed to pull people back when they get too injured to fight. So he's got to warp people back in. And where we're going to end it this episode for part one, we didn't initially think it was going to be a two-parter, but we got off on tangents and it's a big story. So to end it, everybody's ready, and Thanos and everybody are standing on their floating fortress island thing in space, and the Watcher shows up. And Mephisto comes up to Thanos and says, you know, they only show up when some big thing is about to happen. And so that's basically how Thanos knows everybody's coming. They're coming to fuck his day up. Hmm. Well, it's a minor inconvenience, but they're coming to fuck his day up. They're going to attempt it. Yeah, they're going to attempt his day up.
Yeah. No promises.
And the Watcher, actually, Adam Warlock tries to convince the Watcher to join in, but they are so... I wouldn't say stoic's the wrong word. Steadfast in their, like, oath that they only watch and record, that they won't join in. Even after all the horrible shit that happens during this whole story arc, he just watches. That's all he does. So we're going to end it. Part one, the Watcher showing up with Thanos, and Thanos knowing that shit's about to go down.
It's about to go down.
I think this was a good episode. Yep. We're going to work on making a soundproof room so the sound is a little bit better, or at least getting some more mics.
Yeah.
You can hit up ComicFNG at ComicFNG on Twitter, ComicFNG at gmail.com for the email, and the website, ComicFNG. If you could give us reviews on iTunes and pretty much anything you can put a review on. I don't know if you guys have Twitters or Instagrams or anything you want to throw out.
No, this time.
Not currently. But I do want to know if that's comicfng.com, .net, .org.
.com.
Yeah. .com.
Yep. Comicfng.com. No periods, just comicfng.com. Perfect. So that's the official website. I haven't really finished with it, but it's up and it's there, and you can put stuff on it. Mainly email and Twitter is going to be the best way to get a hold of it.
Currently. We are also working on a Facebook and an Instagram.
Probably not. We probably won't finish the Facebook. No. With the shit Zuckerberg's pulling.
No.
I don't know if I want to do a Facebook. But Instagram, yes. We will be doing an Instagram. We'll be filling it with pictures of shops around Phoenix and all that cool stuff. We can get to cons and everything. We'll try to get as much of that as we can.
Sounds good.
So we're going to we're going to kill it there, and we'll see you guys at part 2 of Infinity Gauntlet.
Can't wait.
Let's see you then.